was thrilled when I heard you were back in as a head coach. You go to Northwest, and Rick Worstell told me before the season even started, John, he said, watch out for Northwest this year with John DeMarco, his offense, as well as the focus he puts on defense. But that combination of his offense and Jordan Mick, the Indians are going to be a team to be reckoned with. And he was right, John. Are you surprised by how much success this team has had in your first year, or were you expecting this?
Well, I watched some tape once I was named head coach from last year, and I knew there was some potential to have a pretty good team. There's a lot of good athletes returning. There's some good size to go with the athletes. And when I met them, their enthusiasm was very high. They were very excited, and they just, from day one, have just taken off and wanted to do well.
John, it's a crazy year, though. This is your first year, and you want to get in there, hit the ground running, put in this, that, everything else, and then all of a sudden we're in the middle of a pandemic, and everything gets shut down. You don't even know if you're going to have a season. What was your mindset when all of a sudden that hits, and now you got to take a few steps back and wait to see what happens?
Well, I was named the head coach in the winter, and it was kind of odd because at about that time we got shut down pretty quickly after that. And so I didn't get a chance to be around the kids much, but it gave us coaches an opportunity to meet a lot through Zoom and install a lot of our stuff without all that other stuff going on. And I think with the kids being idle for 3 or 4 months, when they finally got the opportunity and got the clear away in June, they showed up with a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. And I think a lot of it was just being shut down. And since day one, they've been very excited and just have wanted to do everything we've asked them as coaches. And they've just responded very well. It's just been things have just worked out really well.
You're only away for a year as a head coach. You were on Dan's team at Lake as an assistant. I remember that. And then you're back at it again. What did you miss the most? And did you know that you were going to get back into it as soon as possible, as soon as a good opportunity opened up for you?
No, I really thought at this stage of my career I was really done. I went over to Lake last year and thoroughly enjoyed myself on Coach DeGeorge's staff and just having the opportunity to coach quarterbacks. I missed putting an offense together, from the ground floor up. I missed that a little bit, and I missed Friday nights, just with some of the play calling. I was involved in a little bit at Lake, but it was just a little bit different. I missed those things the most. But the kids at Lake, the kids at Northwest, the kids that I've been around are all basically the same. And they're in Stark County, and they just love football, and it's always a joy to just be around young kids and that enthusiasm.
John DeMarco, our guest, head coach at Northwest. They've got a big game on Saturday, playoff game against East Cleveland Shaw. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. John, why was this the right position for you? You thought maybe you were done. What was it about this position where you said, yeah, I want to get back into it. This is a good fit for me.
Well, I talked to the athletic director first, and he was very good. We have a really good relationship, working relationship going on, he introduced me to a few of the coaches, and the coaches here have been outstanding. And I think that was what sold me more than anything else, was the opportunity to work with a young staff. It is a young staff, but they're very energetic. They're anxious to learn. They're anxious to excel, and they got a lot of knowledge, and they just needed a little bit of direction. And it's been a lot of fun just working with them.
John, let's talk about your team. Jordan Mick, I was just looking at his numbers. Of course, he was at Hoban as a freshman and as a sophomore on state championship teams over there. He comes back to play with his brother there at Northwest. We saw those two last year, and they were players of the game in a game we did last year. Jordan was our Sarshone Ford Player of the Week earlier this year as well. What makes him so special to be able to put up the numbers that I'm looking at, over 2,000 yards passing, 500 yards rushing, and combined 29 touchdowns?
Well, he's got a lot of great qualities. He just does a great job, and especially here as our season has gone on and we got into the playoffs last week, he's just done a great job of leading us. And I think his leadership shown more than anything else Saturday night in our first playoff game. because he was the only one with any experience there. He has a great understanding of the game. He has a lot of skills football-wise. He's got a nice quick release when he's throwing the football. He's very accurate throwing the football. He runs well. He's just a tough kid. He's just a football player. He's not necessarily a quarterback. He's a football player that happens to be a quarterback. He plays defense for us and does very well over there, too. Everything we do is just comes from him. He just has done just an outstanding job of leading us as a team.
But he's not all you have there, because you wouldn't be 7-0 and put up 52 points in your first playoff game if it was just him. So tell me a little bit about some of the other guys that have stepped up offensively at running back, at wide receiver, to make this whole offensive machine work with him as the driver.
Well, it does start with him, but we got a lot of guys that can make plays, which really helps. Our inside slot is Anthony Grossnickel. He's a senior. He's had a really good year. Watching him on tape last year, I thought he had the potential to have a good year for us, and he's done a great job. Nick Dinkins is our inside slot. I think he has close to 800 yards receiving. He's kind of the forgotten man on our receiving corps. Anthony's kind of like the first guy we go to, and then we have Jordan's brother, Brayton, on the outside, and we get him singled up a lot. And I think he leads us in touchdown catches with 6 or 7, something like that. He always also plays corner for us and does an outstanding job there and returns punts. But I think people are looking at Anthony and Brayton and kind of forget Nick, and he's just had an outstanding year. Our offensive line has been we had two guards out at the beginning of the year, so we were slow getting going up front. And they have gotten healthy and better all year. And our offensive line is starting to gel a little bit. And they had their best game easily Saturday night. I think it's just a matter of being together more, getting more comfortable with what we're trying to do scheme-wise, working together a little bit. And we had over 400 yards rushing Saturday night. Jordan had 197. And our tailback, who's a freshman, Kyler Maraglia, ended up with about 120 yards rushing and had a real good game for us, too. But it all started up front. Jordan's our leader, but he's not our only player. We got a lot of guys who can make plays. And Jordan does a great job of getting the ball and letting them make plays. So that's given us a lot of success on our offense.
I'm looking at your line. This is the D4 school. You're averaging 260. You got some big boys up there. Kunkel, is it Piontner? How do you pronounce Riley's last name?
Plotner.
Plotner. Okay. See, I don't have my reading glasses on. That's okay. An L. My bad. So Riley Plotner, Steiner, Prexta, and Logan averages 260. You got one that's 299, one that's 301. So we know it's all about the trenches, and that allows those kids at the skill positions to do their thing, right?
Well, it really does help, and it does start up front. And we started the year without the two guards, Plotner and Prexta, and then we're banged up a little bit, and we're slow getting started. And it was actually about week 3 or 4 before they even played together, and they've just started to gel, and it's made our whole offensive line go together. But, yeah, the unit has really worked well together.
John DeMarco, our guest, thrilled to have him here. First year with the Northwest Indians. They're 7-0, and they've got a playoff game against, and we're doing it for you on Saturday night, folks. It's the Sarshone Ford Radio Game of the Week, Part 2, Saturday night, East Cleveland Shaw, 7 o'clock. So check it out. I want to turn over to defense, John, because you have to be able to stop the opposition as well. And 7-7-7-12, there's four out of your seven games there where you didn't give up more than 12 points. What's been the key defensively for this team this year?
Well, our defensive coaches have done a great job of adapting our defense to other offenses, and the kids have adapted real well to it. We've been led on our defense by linebacker Connor Ramsey, who's led us all year. Jason Greenfield's our other linebacker, and he's been in and out of the lineup with a couple of injuries. And those scores that you see where they got a few more points, a lot of times were games that he did not play. We feel when those two in there are give us a little more solid of a defense. Up front, we're playing real well. Cody Logan goes both ways for us. Logan Wise has done an outstanding job at defensive end. He's a kid who just plays hard. He's about 195-pound defensive end, and he just plays every play as hard as he can. And, you know, when you got kids like that, it always gives you a chance to be successful.
I'm looking, you know, at the defense. I see a number of guys going both ways. John, how do you manage that at a smaller school? Obviously, you don't have as many kids maybe coming out. You don't have set starters on offense, set starters on defense that are different. Some guys got to go both ways. So how do you as a coach make sure that, you know, especially at quarterback with Jordan, that he's got enough gas left in the tank in the fourth quarter?
Well, we try to spell him as much as we can. Anthony plays a lot of defense for us also, and he exerts a lot of energy the way he plays. We try to spell him as much as we can. Now we got Nick Dinkins and Braden Mick, two of our wide receivers who also play corner for us. They do a lot of running, but they're not in the physical aspect of it. And they play just about every play, every game. Jordan plays about every play for us also at a safety and a quarterback, and that's a tough double. But that just shows the toughness of him. But we got a few guys that we got to have go both ways. We just, you know, Division IV, we just don't have a number of kids, and you know, there's a little bit of a drop off that we have, and we try to ride those kids that we got as long as we can.
All right, let's talk about your matchup against East Cleveland Shaw. I was talking with Chris Easterling earlier today about it. Mark Miller, who does our games, our analyst as well. We were talking about East Cleveland Shaw when COVID happened. They got some transfers from Glenville and other places as well, and it's a pretty good football team. What jumps off the film at you when you see the film from East Cleveland Shaw?
Well, number one is their athleticism. They have athletes all over the field. And that really shows on defense. Their defense is really fast. They give them up very few points this year. They got good size on defense, and they're just really good athletes. A lot of quickness, a lot of athleticism, and like we haven't dealt with before. So it's going to be a little bit different for us there. Offensively, they just kind of are really pretty simple. They just try to get their athletes in space and wait for one of them to make a play. But this is definitely a the defensive-ridden team. They rely on their defense to keep them in the game and try to get a couple scores and win that way.
Last week you fell behind early with a special teams touchdown given up. Was that a good thing for you guys to test the mettle there in the first playoff game to see how you guys would respond or no?
I don't think it's ever good to be behind. Maybe in hindsight when you look back it isn't so bad, but we talked to the kids right before we went out that, you know, some things might happen here early. Some adversity might hit, and we got to stay with our game plan. We can't panic and try to make things up right away. Little did I know they'd take the opening kickoff back and we'd be behind in 13 seconds. But we talked about that, and then I think it took us a little while to settle in. Our first offensive series, we dropped a pass that we normally catch. And he just didn't play like as loose as we had in the past. And then we had to punt right away. And when we punted to them, they went three and out. And then on fourth down, they tried a fake punt. And we stopped them and kind of got a lot of momentum off of that. And we scored on the next play. And from there, our kids just kind of relaxed and played like they're capable of playing and really got after it and had a lot of fun.
Now, how is Jordan? I know he got a little dinged up last week. Is he good to go this week?
Well, we're still waiting to see. I got a little bit of pain there. You know, he's struggling throwing the ball a little bit. But, you know, every day's been a little bit better, and we're just waiting to see what he's able to do.
Well, let's hope he's good to go for you guys on Saturday. I'm happy for you. Glad that you're back in it. You're one of the good guys, one of the great coaches in Stark County as well, John. So best of luck on Friday night. We'll have the game for everybody. Saturday night. Yeah, we'll have the game for everybody on Saturday night here on WHBC. Wish you and all the players and coaches the best of luck, and hopefully we're talking to you again next week, Coach.
Oh, thank you, Kenny. We look forward to seeing you over here.